As the lights come up, three old friends have come to a cabin in the woods to reconnect, and while there, discover a box of evocative old dolls. Over the course of the night, these women eat, laugh, argue, dance, dream, and share their unexpected stories. Sparked by the dolls, they stay at the table through difficult, highly charged conversations that open into new and unexpected terrain. Language of Dolls is the new collaborative theater piece that questions the origins of racism, identity, and history. Created and performed by critically acclaimed New York City theater artists Lizzie Olesker, Peggy Pettit, and Louise Smith. Coming to Touchstone Theater's intimate Southside Bethlehem Theater for one weekend only, Language of Dolls runs Thursday, March 5 through Sunday, March 8. This is WDIY 88.1, the Lehigh Valley's public radio, and you are tuned in to Lehigh Valley Arts Salon. I remain Kate Scuffle, your host, and this evening I'm joined by theater artists and Language of Dolls collaborators, Louise Smith and Lizzie Olesker. So welcome, Louise and Lizzie.
Thank you so much, Kate. Great to be here.
Yeah, so good to be with you.
Well, and I'm fascinated. I'm really eager to see the piece. I'm fascinated by, could we maybe start with for our listeners, the origin story? What sparked this piece? I mean, you guys have a working and friendship relationship that goes back decades, but why this piece and why now?
We started talking to each other about 3 years ago, and it started as a desire to work together, recognizing that we had these different interconnections, which are talked about in the piece. We all went to Antioch College in Yellow Springs, Ohio, slightly different eras. And after that, we continued to be a part of the downtown experimental scene in New York City. So we had these intersections with each other in friendship and in art for, well, since, 1978.
I think it's about 40 years.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah. So 3 years ago, we got together. Actually, Lizzie felt it would be important for us to have a conversation about what we could do together. And that's how it started.
Right. And it was also when we were starting, we were thinking about who we each are and how we came to know each other from very different backgrounds. And what does that mean to kind of develop a friendship and a relationship over time, given that we have these very different backgrounds and kind of identities that were created personally through our families and socially and racially? And we were interested and had questions about each of our backgrounds. Were two white women, one Jewish, one Irish. Those are the lines in the play. And a Black woman who is Peggy Pettit. Mm-hmm. And so we were curious about how does that affect us? And we were looking for a space where we could talk about these differences openly and honestly. Mm. And even though it seems very simple and obvious, we realized how that can often be very fraught and difficult.
I mean, we were coming out of the, Black Lives Matter and George Floyd and all of the political context that we were living through. And we found it, we wanted to talk about this. How do we know who we are and how do we learn about race, for example? And that was sort of the entry point. We found other spaces that we inhabited with that. I mean, sure, the piece does talk a great deal about racial identity, but it talks about a lot more too.
I'm curious and intrigued by what role the dolls actually, I think it's a fascinating image, and dolls can be so many things and fill in for so many things and carry so much memory. And why the dolls and how did that happen for you? How did that come to play?
Well, I think an interesting element of the piece is how it developed in a very organic kind of unplanned improvisational way. So the dolls came and we can explain how it was sort of this wonderful accident. But, we were having these conversations together and we decided to record them. And from those recordings, we transcribed them and they literally became the dialogue of the piece. And then Peggy and I knew that there was an exhibit at the New York Historical Society, a very large, comprehensive exhibit of Black dolls that was historic. So they were from, starting with early 19th century into the present. And so we went to see the show together and were completely blown away by it. And there was something about the presence of the dolls that really affected us very deeply. They had a kind of soul, if you will, when we were kind of in the space with them, a kind of exchange happened between us and the dolls. And we thought, oh, that would be such an interesting way of kind of dealing with our own identities. And through this object, through this impersonation of a female of race, we wanted to kind of play with dolls ourselves again. And each of us had a relationship to dolls that we then talked about a little bit when we improvised and were working together. So part of it was like we decided to play with dolls together as part of our work generating material.
And I live in Ohio. I didn't go see the exhibit, but I saw the catalog and have looked at a lot of images. And one of the things we've done in this piece is a lot of historical research, where we've looked at images, we've looked at artists, we've looked at literature and history as a way to kind of connect our personal experience of racial identity to the collective experience of our, US history. And the idea of playing with dolls too, this would be a really different piece if it was three men.
Well, I was just thinking that, yes. I was also just thinking it's interesting, we'll touch on it again later, the image of staying at the table and what the table is, and something about that not to be oddly sexist in reverse or something, but that's that idea of the meal and the table and the whatever feels very much like it's a woman's story as well.
Well, the intimacy of domestic spaces, the
Yeah.
intimacy of playing, of caretaking, for example. I had come to the piece thinking I wanted to make a piece about caretaking. And Peggy wanted to make a piece about how we learn who we are and how children learn, because she works a lot with children. And she's a storyteller. She works with children all the time, telling stories, which is a very important part of her practice as an artist. And so that was a huge component of her drive to do it. And I think, Lizzie, for you, kind of the same. It was really about this desire. But I had come initially thinking I was very interested in the theme of caretaking, especially as women, and how to take care of each other. So,
I think
and
it's interesting too, the women in friendship, which is a whole another net way of being, that it's three women friends who are at this table, and I think the caretaking and the domestic space and the dolls, but also digging into areas that sound like they could be frightening and very intimate and risky in a way.
And we were really curious about this idea of trust. And when you're in a space with people that you know very well and trust, that can be kind of a tricky thing. Like, on the one hand, you think, well, then we're more open and available to say how we actually feel. But in other ways, sometimes there's a bigger kind of gap that you have to cross that you didn't expect. But we gave each other these sort of fact-based assignments. So some of it was research, some of it was writing about our own experiences. And sometimes we had to listen to things that we didn't want to hear, in fact. And what was that like? And so you bring up that expression that we found, what does it mean to stay at the table? Like, what does it mean to say we can't just go walk away? You can't get into such a major argument, although there is an argument in the center of the piece, that happens. It's like you can't, we come back to the table and how important that is, and recognizing what is that about to not give up, not disappear, not reject each other. And so that was a big part of it. But one of the ways you stay at the table is with humor. So just to kind of emphasize that in the piece, we try to find humor with one another. And when we were talking to Peggy just earlier today, when we were meeting with her, she said, well, make sure that you talk about the wicked humor in the play. There is a wicked humor. And I was like, you're right. That's exactly what it is.
Well, that seems to be something else. I was, I don't know, with friendship and intimacy, you start to share a kind of language and humor often one finds with circles of people that stay at the table long enough. Yeah. When we come back from the break, there's a lovely quote of Peggy's too about that experience of seeing the dolls for the first time that I want to share when we come back. But
You're also, I noticed in the material, talk a little bit about that after the performance, an intimate, it's an 80 minutes roughly intimate performance in an intimate space. How do you continue that conversation with the audience afterwards?
we actually performed this piece in Yellow Springs, Ohio, where I live and where Antioch College is.
Right.
And just to underline that idea of trust and kind of deep connection, the friendship gave us a sense of responsibility that if this wants to be talked about and if we want to think about how do we continue to engage with each other over difference, that these three friends, us, really could be kind of a model for that, or be an opening or an invitation for that. And that's what we do with the audience. At the end of the piece, we ask people if they want to stay to talk a little bit about their own experiences of how they learned about race and how they experienced the characters in the piece and what were the difficult moments in the piece for them. What were the moments that felt resonant to them? When we did it in Yellow Springs, some folks said to me, "Wow, you were saying things I only said in my own mind, but I never said out loud." And that was
Interesting.
really interesting for me. And honestly, I was not expecting that. We're ourselves one step removed. So some things that I say as a character in the play, maybe I would say, I wouldn't say it quite that way, or I would say it's very based in truth, but just a little bit heightened so that we can make it more accessible and clear. So the audience conversation is a continuation of our conversation at the table, is what we hope to do, is open the table up to the audience to sit with us. What was fascinating in Yellow Springs was how willing people were to be vulnerable in that space. And also, we don't want a critique of the play. We want
Right.
to about what's happening
Kind
inside a person.
of a wonderful metaphor for what theater should be, but
Yeah, I was going to say, and the thing about theater and how it is this incredible, that we're there together in a room in live time and space. What was wonderful is, how much people were able to relate to it, or aspects of each character and in a very personal way. So we hope that will happen in Bethlehem as well.
we're going to explore a little more when we come back, but we are going to a break. You've been listening to Lehigh Valley Arts Salon here on WDIY 88.1. I'm your host, Kate Scuffle, and I've been talking with theater artists Lizzie Olesker and Louise Smith, who, along with Peggy Pettit, are bringing Language of Dolls, their original collaborative theater piece, to Touchstone Theater March 5th to March 8th. We'll be right back after this short break.
Do you have vinyl albums, 45s, or CDs on your shelves that are taking up space and gathering dust? Why not donate them for a good cause? WDIY will receive profits from the donation, and you can claim a tax deduction. For more information, or to arrange for a drop-off or pickup, call 610-694-8100 or visit WDIY.org.
Welcome back to Lehigh Valley Arts Salon here on WDIY 88.1, Lehigh Valley Public Radio. I'm your host, Kate Scuffle, and tonight we're talking about Language of Dolls, a new collaborative theater piece questioning the origins of racism and identity, coming to Touchstone March 5th through March 8th. And my guests tonight are acclaimed theater artists Lizzie Olesker and Louise Smith, who, along with fellow artist Peggy Pettit, created and performed Language of Dolls. And before we went to the break, we hadn't talked a lot, we touched a little bit on the process of how the play came about and was developed. And we talked a little bit about the dolls. Which one should we go back and revisit first?
Yeah.
Start with the dolls, Lizzie?
Sure. Yeah. Another element of the dolls that we started to explore, we asked the question, if the dolls could speak, what would they sound like? What would they say? And we were really fascinated with this idea of what is the language of dolls? What is this kind of poetic, but also filled with history and both personal and social, that these dolls feel like they contain for us. So sometimes we work with dolls that we found. A couple of them are quite old, an old baby doll, and then another baby doll that looks like a real infant. And they speak a kind of history sometimes about something particular. And then we also decided to each create our own doll. So we found material and things from where we were, and we actually sewed our own dolls, or kind of made this doll that we call our soul doll. And each of us, that soul doll has a kind of moment or more in the play where they express something that's very deep to the characters, and to us, personally. So, for example, Peggy, I don't want to give away too much, but she gives birth to her doll. I encounter the doll is my mother, and she speaks from this kind of other time and place. And Louise gets lost and finds this doll who is very raw and kind of naked. So those soul dolls became a part of the play. It was, again, very improvisational that we didn't know what we were going to make. And it kind of, they made themselves, so to speak, in our hands, which was really cool experience.
I think that goes back to the process by which the play or the piece was built. How far along into it were you when you decided to make the soul dolls? And could you talk a little bit more about making a piece from scratch like this and how it worked for you three?
Well, of course, we all don't live in the same city. So a lot of our work in the first year or so was on Zoom. We would talk, we would write notes, transcribe, record conversations, and then transcribe them into scripts and then edit the scripts. And a lot of it was also just being open and looking, as Peggy always talks about, standing in front of the questions and just letting the questions work on us. And then seeing what comes from that. In October of 2023, we got a residency for a month at Blue Mountain Center in the Adirondacks. And that was where we created the framework of the theatrical piece itself, because we were in a rural environment, in a very rustic environment, for a month together, and we had a little cabin studio where we worked. That experience was fundamental to, okay, these three women go to a cabin to work on something together. So that's what I mean. It's like it is incredibly rooted in our own lived experience. So there is another piece that Peggy did that she brought into rehearsal, and she had had an encounter in the subway. And this became a whole, thing inside of our piece. So as we were living into this work, it's the world starts to speak to you. It's so funny how that is, It's like all of a sudden, like, wow, these things are coming to us. And we would write them and we would speak them and we would record them and they became the script. And we also tried to think about all these other aspects of life, like our childhoods, our hair, what we like to cook, the way we relate to objects, those kind of things you share with friends. I do this. Oh,
Music,
music.
dancing, we
Right.
dance in the, you know.
That's, what I love about this piece. And I just want to say this is one of the most favorite projects I've ever worked on, ever, because I love these two women so much. And I feel so blessed to be part of something that, really allows me to investigate themes that have been close to my heart for many, many, many years through this friendship, since college. It's not like, oh, let's write about this now. No, we've all been mining this stuff for 40 years in different kinds of ways in our work,
You guys have worked together. As I look at your biographies, you've all also since college worked together in different combos and on different projects and
Right.
continued a kind of creative conversation and map a journey. Did you discover that you had changed a lot? Like it sounds like in some ways all three of you found different ways to express your slightly different ways that you express yourself through your work. What have you done? What have the projects been? How do they work? What do they look like? It must have been really interesting to bring those three journeys back together again. I want to start to finish that circle, to come back to that circle again.
Yeah, and I'll just say, we all in that 40 years, we worked with different companies, sometimes together, sometimes separately. We each had our own careers, obviously. I, for example, also directed Louise Smith is a solo theater maker and performer. She does these amazing solo pieces that I helped dramaturg and direct a couple of them. And Peggy worked for years as doing her own solo work. So I feel like in this experience of coming together, it's kind of bringing our individual sensibilities together as performers and writers in a completely new way. So even though I feel like, oh, I know you all so well, this is a completely new experience, which has been really wonderful.
And to draw a line from the play, there is always something to discover. I mean, you know, you think you know folks, and then you really find out some different kinds of things, you know?
Definitely.
Again, we love each other. I think that's a huge piece of how the piece works. And fundamentally, that's also another way into how do you have conversations that are difficult, that are painful. It's got to be, the foundation has got to be a sense of trust and a sense of willingness to love each other. Inside of this is how you stay at the table.
And being that it's still theater and drama, there's a certain amount of conflict in that. But it's like, what does that conflict look like? And how do you come through it? And it doesn't necessarily resolve, but I think it's part of what keeps the circle going with the audience is the interest and the kind of stakes of it. It's like, how do we come through this? How do we understand each other? How do we maintain friendships? How do we get older together? That's right. A big question of the piece. Also, you know, young women, it would be a different play if it was three young women who came to a cabin. We each have a whole life experience.
I don't want the time to get away from us without talking quickly about the Story Circle workshop as well, but I do have to say it's interesting listening to you describing what almost feels like a metaphor for what we as a country. It's the table we need to stay around right now. Beautiful timing.
Yeah, we hope so. I mean, as we've been living with this piece now for 3+ years, is it still relevant? Are we still doing something? Do we still want to talk? Oh, well, look at this. It's actually the circumstances we're all living in. Actually, it feels more important relevant to this piece than ever.
Yeah, it feels more to me more than ever that it's something like, sometimes that happens with art. It's sort of like prescient, you know, like it's like, oh, we were decided to do this. But now it's like, oh my God, that's what is happening right now. The kind of necessity and urgency of it is very present. And we don't say it directly in the script exactly, but it's the undercurrent that's going on behind it, beneath it.
The Story Circle workshop is an opportunity, is it not, for participants to kind of explore a similar journey for themselves, because there are tools and there are ways and there's a methodology that you guys have all shared or worked with. Could you talk a little bit about, it's for 16 participants, it's a free workshop. Folks need to sign up through Touchstone online or by talking with the folks at Touchstone. But what will that be like? What will people experience in that workshop?
Well, it really is like that model that you had mentioned, John O'Neill and Free Southern Theater and the Story Circle model, which is that people sit and listen to, you know, stories of lived experience without judgment, but just to create a space. And each person takes a turn. There's generative kind of conversation, just like we did. The work comes out of conversation and out of kind of personal reflection about lived experience. And from there, then we'll work to craft or to, you know, write some stuff to think about how we combine those things or how they interact with each other. All people need to bring is their body and their stories and a willingness to listen. That's a really important component of this. I think it's really important to create spaces where we can listen without, you know, to take a step back for a minute and respect another person's lived experience, which is kind of how we've been working together, you know?
And I think the other part of it is that when in listening and then exchanging stories, there's a moment of perhaps theatricalizing a moment within the story that you're telling, but in a way that, you know, doesn't make people uncomfortable, but in fact is a joyful kind of opening up of what their experience was. A part of their experience can be literally a moment in the whole story that they told that they want to then explore. And we can all work on that together. But you don't need experience beforehand. You can just bring yourself It's all very done in a way that is joyous and celebratory.
And on that note, sadly, we're just about out of time, but I'll remind our listeners that that workshop is Saturday, March 7th. It's 2 p.m. It's a Touchstone. Get in touch with Touchstone right away. Those 16 slots are going to fill up. And Language of Dolls, one weekend only, Touchstone Theater, Thursday, March 5th through Sunday, March 8th. Touchstone's website, call Touchstone's box office, whatever you need to do, but don't miss it. Thank you both, Lizzie and Louise. Thank you so much. And Peggy, who's here in spirit.
Oh, yes. Always.
And welcome. We're so glad to welcome the Peace to Touchstone into Bethlehem. Thank you.
Thank you, Kate. Take care.
Thank you, Kate.
And thank you to our listeners, of course. I've been your host, Kate Scuffle, here on WDIY 88.1 FM, Lehigh Valley Public Radio. I look forward to visiting with you again soon, right here in the Lehigh Valley Arts Salon. Lehigh Valley Arts Salon is supported by the Dexter F. and Dorothy H. Baker Foundation, who believes lives are enriched through a vibrant and enduring arts community, and invites you to join them in supporting the arts.